Would open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read the first three verses. This is God's Word. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Many years ago, when our son Clayton was playing on a soccer team in Pigeon Forge, and I believe that Mr. Andrew was also on that same team, I went to pick them up from their soccer practice. And it was a very, very, very hot day. Some folks recently have experienced what that feels like. And I mean, it was just like all the energy and all the moisture is being drawn out by the heat. And so I arrived with cold bottles of water for our children. And when I got out of the parking lot and headed over to the soccer field where the guys were still finishing their practice, one of the other players, whom I'd never seen before, came running toward me and went, "Dad!" Now, the reason he did that is because he saw the water bottles. I didn't know this kid. He didn't know me. I don't think he knew whose father I was. He just knew he wanted what I had. And so if it took being adopted by a stranger on the spot, you know, that's fine. Just give me some water, please. And I thought that was amusing. He turned out to be a nice kid. He's now a successful businessman in Sevier County. But I will long remember that little boy running to me and calling me dad, even though he knew I wasn't. Okay? Not everyone is a child of God. Not everyone is a child of God. Now, there are some people who like to think that everybody's a child of God. But that is not the case. And I say that on the authority of God's Word. In fact, for those who are especially fond of the red letters, I say it on the basis of what Jesus says in John chapter 8. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I've not come on my own, but He sent me." Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Okay, Jesus says not everybody's a child of God. There are some people, even religious people, who are still dead in trespasses and sins, part of the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus says to these folks, Your father is the devil.
Well, that seems rather harsh.
He's telling the truth. If a doctor gets back the results of a test and the results show that that tumor in your body is cancer, the doctor is not being harsh to tell you you have cancer. He's simply being a good doctor and telling you the truth. Now, thank God there is treatment for cancer, and thank God there is treatment for sin. There's a solution. There is a balm in Gilead. But Jesus tells us what the solution is. It's not a tune-up. It's a brand new life. Jesus said in John 3 to a guy who was very religious, but not a Christian, you must be born again. He said, unless you are born again, you cannot even see, perceive, recognize the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said, unless you're born again. Now, Nicodemus in John chapter 3 did not get it at all. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can't enter a second time into his mother's womb. What are you talking about? Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You don't need to be born again physically. You need to be born again spiritually. And you can be born again if you trust in Jesus. John chapter 1 describes it this way. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Did you hear that? If you trust in Jesus, you are born again. If you trust in Jesus, you pass from death to life. If you trust in Jesus, you are no longer a child of the devil. But what does that look like? Does it mean you just believe Jesus exists? No, the devil knows that. Does it mean that you simply believe that Jesus is the Son of God? No, the devil knows that. What does it mean? It means you trust in him. If I were to decide that I was going to put my confidence as far as where to keep my money in a safe over there, and I decide it's a fireproof safe. It's too heavy for a thief to pick up and move. I think that is the place to put my money. But I don't put my money in there. I just believe that that's the place. Will it protect my money in a fire? No. My money's not in there. The fact that that's a fireproof safe and that I think that would be the smart place to put my money, not going to protect my money, okay? I decide, well, I don't know, somebody might be able to come in here and steal that thing. I think I better put my money in the bank. Which bank shall I use? I think I'll go to TSB, okay? It's right here, local. Folks are friendly. And so I say, TSB is the place. And I don't put my money in there. Am I really, really putting my trust in TSB? I was a kid who believed the facts of the gospel and did nothing about it until one night I realized I believe what I've been taught, but I've never responded to Jesus. I've never asked him to save me. And so I did. I prayed. And I asked him to save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. You know how I know? Because he keeps his promises.
Well, has there been any evidence over the years that he actually changed you?
Yes. Okay? I wouldn't be running a children's home if it weren't for the fact that God did a work in my heart. I wouldn't have the joy of being married to this beautiful lady if it weren't for the fact that God brought us together. I would not be who I am today apart from the grace of God. It is God who has changed my life through Jesus Christ. So we need to be born again, Jesus says. And unless we're born again, we can't enter the kingdom of God. We're not going to heaven. We're not part of God's family. It's described in Ephesians 1 as being adopted. In Ephesians 1, it says God predestined us to be adopted in his Son, Jesus Christ. When we put our trust in him, when we transfer our trust from ourselves or other things, religion, whatever, when we say, okay, I'm putting it all in there. I'm yielding my life to Jesus Christ. I want him to be my boss. I want him to have his way in my life. When we do that, we become part of God's family. 2002, we were in Ukraine picking up three kids. Precious children that we'd never met before. But before we finalized the adoption and brought them back to the United States, we asked them each a question. And that is, do you want us to adopt you? Because if their attitude was, we don't want to leave Ukraine. We don't trust you. No. We want to stay here in the orphanage. If that had been the response, guess what? As much as it would have broken our heart, we weren't going to say, well, you're coming with us. Take them away. That's not the way it works. Now, happily, all three children told us and told the judge in Ukraine that they wanted to be our children, that they wanted us to adopt them. They wanted to come to America. And oh, how we thank God that that is the case. They have been such a joy and blessing in our lives. But let me tell you something. If you have an attitude toward God that says, I don't want to do what God says. I don't want Jesus to be my boss. I want to be my own boss. I want to do what I want to do. I want to have things my way. Well, you're not part of the family yet. You don't know him. Because if you knew him, you'd love him. You'd trust him. You'd be glad to obey him. Not that it always comes naturally. God has to change us from the inside out. But let me just tell you something. When God saves a person, he really saves them. He doesn't just forgive us. He transforms us. And so again, take a look at 1 John 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. What does lavish mean? It's like over the top. It is so abundant. This morning, I washed my hair, okay? And I always kind of enjoy getting to do that. For one thing, because I'm glad there's still some left up there. Not as much as it used to be, but there's still some. And I put some shampoo in my hand, and I work it into a lather. Okay? L-A-T-H-E-R, a lather. And if I use as much shampoo as I usually do, it's a lavish lather. Okay? It means there is so much. It's not just a little bit. Yeah, I think you got it clean.
No, I mean, I'm just shampooing and there are bubbles falling all over the place and it's just wonderful. Okay? When I have a pancake or French toast and my wife puts the maple syrup on the table, I put usually 2 or 3 drops on top of the... You think? No. No. There you go. I want my pancakes swimming in syrup. I want them to feel like they're going to drown. I can't breathe. I'm a pancake, you know. I lavish that on there, okay? When my wife makes the best, most delicious gravy in the world, and I want that on my mashed potatoes. I make the best mashed potatoes. When I make the mashed potatoes and she makes the gravy, I don't want just a little bit of gravy on top. I want to make sure that the next time they draw blood, they don't just get blood, they get gravy. Okay? I mean, I lavish that gravy on there and I put it on the meat too because it's so delicious. Fabulous. When my wife makes her famous hollandaise sauce, I don't just put some on my asparagus. I want it on the meat. And if I've got a Sister Schubert's roll, I'll put butter on the roll and then I'll dip it in the extra hollandaise. That's lavish. Well, God didn't just give us a little bit of love. Okay, I'll let you in. He didn't say, okay, I'll let you in. He said, come to your daddy. I love you. I want you to spend forever with me. You can't imagine how much you mean to me. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son for us. Now, I tell you, folks, I love you, and I mean it. But if I had to sacrifice one of my children in order to rescue you, that'd be a very tough call for me. You understand? Well, Pastor, what, I thought you said you loved us. Well, I do, and I'd be willing to give up my life for you, but I would have a really hard time giving up one of my children for you. But God loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. In order for us to become his children, Jesus had to die on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve, so that we could not just be forgiven, but made new, brought into the family. We are called the children of God, those who are in Christ. This isn't written to everybody. We've already said not everyone is a child of God. But those who are his children, that's what we are. He says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. It's not make-believe. It's not the kid on the soccer field running up and just trying to get some cold water. I did give him water, by the way. I don't want you to think I looked at him and said, I don't know you. You are not my son. Away from you. This is only for my boys. We had more water. But I want you to understand, God loved you so much that he sent his son to save you. He did it because he loves you. Lavishly. Lavishly. And therefore, he accomplished what he set out to do. We really are God's children. We're not masquerading as God's children. We are his children. That is what we are.
Can you rest in that? How hard is it to find the will of God?
You know, I'm just afraid I'm going to make a mistake.
Well, you'll make mistakes, but God is a loving Father, and He will keep you in the right way if you simply trust in Him and want to do His will. If you want to do the will of God, God will make sure you do. I mean, the will of God is often not what we would plan. When Moses was put in a basket covered with pitch and set down among the reeds of the River Nile, was he in the will of God or not? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, he didn't like it. He was a baby, and it's like, where's Mama, and what happened to the lights? It just got dark in here. Okay, what's going on? Then he hears the voices of strangers, and he's a little baby, and it's just, I mean, what's going on? He was in the will of God. After his mother had gotten him back and nursed him until he was old enough to be weaned, and then he had to go and live in the palace of Pharaoh, a pagan environment, was he in the will of God? Yes. When Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, terrible thing happened to him. And so now he's down at Potiphar's house working as a slave. Was he in the will of God? Yes. And when he got falsely accused because he wouldn't do the wrong thing, and he ended up going to prison, was he in the will of God? Absolutely. So, even when things don't go the way that we would like for them to go, God is working out His purpose. And you and I need to rest in the fact that as His children, He looks after us. Okay? We're the sheep, He's the shepherd. We don't have to tell Him where to go. He will keep us on the right path if we trust in the Lord with all our heart. Consider the love the Father has lavished on us to make us His children. And that's what He's done. That's what we are. We are the children of God. If you're trusting in Christ. If you're trusting in Christ. Well, you know what? If you really believe that, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. We're going to be like Jesus. Because we've been working on it really hard. Is that why? No, it's because He's changing us from the inside out. He knows what it's supposed to look like. The painting doesn't paint itself. The artist paints the painting. And God is working in the lives of His children to make us like Jesus. And when Jesus appears, we're going to look like Him. My kids years ago saw a photograph of my great-grandfather, and they thought that it was a picture I had had taken in an old-time photo place. Have you ever seen those old-timey photo places? You go in, you put on costumes. I've never done it. Okay. But you go in, you put on a costume, and you stand there with a gun or whatever, and they take your picture, and it's supposed to look like, you know, you lived a long time ago. Well, they saw this picture of my great-grandfather, and they thought that's what it was, because the guy looks so much like me. No, he doesn't. I look like him. I got some of his DNA, and it showed up. I have become, over the years, like my great-grandfather, because of what was put into me. God is making His children like Jesus. His life is in us, and we are becoming like Him. And when we see Jesus in glory one day, we're not going to say, "Wow, you look just like me." We're going to say,
You have changed me. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Things are different now, the old song said. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, when I gave my life to Him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Folks, God is in the process of changing us. And we learn to yield to Him. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. In other words, the reason that I want to quit that and do this is because I love Him and I want to please Him. And I know He doesn't like that. And so if He doesn't like that, I don't want to do that. We had one of our children at the house yesterday for a meal. And I think it was yesterday. I don't know. My days are running together. Maybe it was day before yesterday. Day before yesterday. I don't know. One day this week, we had one of my sons at the house. Okay? And my wife said to me, does he like cucumbers? And I said, I don't remember. We got seven kids, okay? Give me a break. I said, I don't remember. I said, but why don't we give him some pecans and watermelon just so that he'll know that we're totally senile? Okay? Now, why would I say that? Because that son is allergic to pecans and to watermelon. Okay? If he eats them, he gets blisters around his lips, which is no fun at all. So I made a joke, you see, about giving my son, whom we love, something that he doesn't want. That's not what you do to people you love. You love Jesus? If you love Jesus, then stop doing the stuff you know He hates. You love Jesus? Then start doing the things that you know He says we're supposed to do. Not in order to earn His love, but because we love Him. And why do we love Him? Because He has lavished His love on us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. I'm so glad. I hope that you know Him, that you are able to come to God and say, Father, in heaven, holy is Your name. I want Your kingdom to come. I want Your will to be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Father, help us to know You and love You and trust You and serve You, because what You have done for us is so wonderful and so amazing. We owe You everything. Thank You for giving us new birth, for adopting us into Your family. And thank You for promising that one day we will be with You forever. And we'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.